Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave. You know, we haven't congratulated Ed and his wife for the birth of their baby, so an official congratulation to Ed. And also we wanted to say a deep sympathy to Sherman and his family. Sherman lost his father-in-law last night in a grain bin accident down there near the Hudsonville area. So our thoughts are with both of those folks.
Well, thank you for that update, and my thoughts out to Sherman as well. I'll be sure to go ahead and give him a call at some point real soon. Let's go ahead and look at the marketplace. When I looked at the numbers this morning, Mike, I kind of thought that of all the numbers I saw, that soybeans had the least bearishness in them. I wouldn't call them bullish, but had the least amount of bearishness in them. And yet, as has happened all this week, soybeans are the leader to the downside.
Yeah, I think that's a huge, huge point to make. You still have the Chinese demand underneath you, Dave, and that was reiterated both in some fresh export sales and also the USDA's crop report this morning. You got a new crop carryover that you can really deal with. I mean, we were around almost 350 million bushels in our estimates because of bigger acres and less usage, but because USDA hasn't moved their acres and they keep their usage real, real high, they're 100 million bushels less than that. So we took away from the report the exact same thing you did. The only problem we continue to fight in the beans is that both last month and year to date, the beans have gone straight up with the crude oil and with RBOB and with copper. And I think that's the real heart and soul of what's been going on in this market this past week as far as why are the beans continuing to leak and go lower and actually lead the market lower. So it's interesting because after today's report, the corn, new crop corn, and new crop wheat are both below our average U.S. prices, you know, what we are projecting for this coming crop year. So we're very strong in the opinion we don't want to sell any new crop corn in the cash market or new crop wheat in the cash market at this stage. The beans, however, our average price is still around the $7.65 area, and so if we're right about our carryover levels, there's still some downside in the beans. So kind of a tale of two cities. The beans probably should be the first ones to react and go back up on a weather scare and continue to be our leader and our primer to keep the market strong. But if they throw in the towel, then I don't think we can ask a lot of the corn or wheat to show much leadership because of their real strong and ideas of strong supply building. And even though demand's staying strong in the feed grain sector, it's just not enough for the supply side in the corn and wheat, in the trade's opinion anyway.
And as we look at the technical charts, we've drawn a new uptrending line that goes through essentially the March lows and then this week's lows, more or less. We did a spike low there on the 8th that we're not including. So we're keeping a close eye on that. And we have a sense that if we don't hold around this level, we might go and explore the 832 to 835 level.
I think that's a fair assumption, and I think that's a fair assumption, especially if we see the front-end crop, the August beans and the September beans, lead the November lower. It's pretty interesting on the August chart. We've got 1065 as a real important resistance level. That's the old January contract high before we went higher in the late April, early May time period. So we'd like to see us get back above 1065 in August beans. That should underscore that the November beans don't need to go any lower. To the downside, the weekly low in the August beans matches up really nice with the 200-day moving average right around that 992, 993 level. So that's kind of your downside support. If you take out the 200-day moving average in the August, then you go back and you look at the November and say, November's below its 200-day moving average already. Maybe it's not going to get back up above it for some time. I think we have to keep in our minds in the next 20 days both the crop insurance on the corn side and defending our crop insurance potential payouts this fall. And on the beans, I think we have to keep in our minds that the Delta crop is suffering, and it's going to be hard to get cash beans off the new 09 bean crop, and supply is going to be real tight in that August-September time frame. So we're really pushing hog clients right now to get their August, September, and October needs covered for their meal needs because we think there's going to be probably a basis play there. Maybe not futures, but basis play.
Seems to me you make the point about defending for crop insurance. That would seem some sort of re-ownership strategy. And then you have to play the what-if game on the yield. USDA's WASDE's number for this month is at 153.4, about right or not? And if so, not, then about where and how do you react for reownership?
There are square on that trend line yield is almost 90%. Between 1960 and 2008, they are 90% likely to be correct on that yield. So they are the boss when it comes to that yield. I would go back, though, and say, like last year in corn, Dave, they've either got the harvested acres still wrong or they've got the yield too high. You can't have both high acres and high yield. I'm still inclined to think, and many in Chicago were wondering about this today after the report that I spoke to. I'm still inclined to think there's less corn acres out there than what the USDA gave us a week or so ago, and that the data they gave us was not real-time based upon what was going on in prevented planting, how crop insurance companies had to really work extra hard in Illinois and Indiana and Missouri, for that matter, to get prevented planting the agreements out to the clients. I just don't think the data is real-time yet in acres. So one or the other, I think, has got to be reduced. And I like their R-square number, and I'm not going to argue that at all, but it puts me back in the mindset that they've got to bring their harvested acres down.
So if they're in that 153.4 and I'm yielding about that as well on average yield on my acres, what's the plan?
Well, the plan would be we came right in on the numbers with the USDA this morning. Our carryover number coming in this morning was $1.55 billion. We missed the mark on the beans big time, but we nailed the corn. So we feel like the analysis is pretty solid in the corn market especially. We're buying puts if the outside markets continue to weaken here, Dave. That's the real heart and soul of the problem with the wheat and with the corn. By themselves, and given the time of the year we're in, we don't feel like wheat and corn need to go any lower than they are right now because of the supply and demand fundamentals. That's baked into the cake, so to speak. But if these outside markets take another move lower because the trade starts to think deflation and the loss of the green shoots theory and more recession, so on and so forth, we still want protection to the downside in corn between now and the end of the month. At the end of the month, we'll flip those puts and get some calls underneath us in the December contract to be able to have protection of what we would have a theoretical crop insurance premium. That February price of 404 works very well as a nice hedge against your corn, but you don't want to see potentially $60 or $100 an acre that you could get right now if it was fall. You don't want to see that leak and the crop prices go back up in the December futures for the month of October, and all of a sudden you see that erosion of that $60 or $100 an acre.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural Program.